That's why the Bible says, be careful, your sin will find you out. What you do in secret will be shouted from the housetops. One of the devil's biggest lies is that a sin is going to stay hidden. It doesn't. Not a major sin. It's going to come out. It may take some time, but it's going to come out.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to the weekend edition of Life Talk. Today we begin a new message entitled, When Leaders Fail. This is the third chapter on the series we call Faith Breakers. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
If you've been a Christian very long, you've probably had the painful experience of watching a Christian leader fail. In this day of social media and instant news from all over the world, no scandal goes unreported and unknown. We've all seen large churches crumble and popular ministries come under the glare of leadership misconduct. While this doesn't happen to most ministries, it happens enough to have affected us all. Failure of spiritual leadership can really be a faith breaker, especially if you're young in the faith. Someone you believed in, trusted, and were inspired by falls into some kind of sin, and it leaves your faith shaken. We can wonder, well, if they couldn't walk Christianity out successfully, how can I? Or is Christianity even real, or is it just another man-made religion among many? Today we're going to look at the fall of King David into adultery and murder, and how two different men had two completely different reactions. One of them survived David's failure, and the other was destroyed by it. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, When Leaders Fail. We've been talking about faith breakers. What's a faith breaker? A faith breaker is something that happens in your life that shatters your faith, shakes it, can threaten it, and you can't believe that a certain thing happened. It comes out of nowhere. It sort of hits you from the side, and your faith is shaken, and you know how to handle it. You know how to navigate through it. You don't know how to get to the other side of what has shaken your faith. It can be a person. It can be a place. It can be a thing. It can be an event, but your faith is shaken. Now, I've talked to you about two faith breakers, and I'm going to talk to you about a third one today that I have never spoken on until today, but it's real, and you've either experienced it or you probably will one day, and that is the faith breaker of when leaders fail. When spiritual leaders fail. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to read to you about one of the real failures. Now, I'm not calling the man a failure, because just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. Can I say that again? Just because you failed, God doesn't look at you and say, oh, they failed, so they're a failure. No, God takes failures and makes them into successes. He doesn't give up on you just because you failed. But that's another message. But I'm going to talk to you about a man in the Bible that failed badly, and we're going to read about the failure, and then we're going to read about how he tried to cover it up. Because you'll notice when you fail, if it's a sinful failure, we tend to fail worse when we try covering up the first failure. We tend to make things way worse when we try cover up. Well, I'm talking about King David. Now let's read out of 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 through 4, and let's read about David's failure, and then I'm going to read to you about how he tried to cover it up. Let's read about it. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. However, David stayed behind. Everybody say with me, first mistake. Because he got out of his lane. You need to stay in your lane. What is your anointing? What is your calling? Stay in your lane. David's lane was fighting. It said kings go out to war. Well, but David was a king, but he didn't go. So he got out of his lane. First mistake. Now, he stayed in Jerusalem. Now, verse 2, late one afternoon after his midday power nap, I just want to see if y'all are there, because that's not what that said. I made that up. All right. David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace, minding his own, and as he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. Everybody say, uh-oh. Trouble is afoot. Now look at verse 3. Instead of quickly turning around, which is what he should have done, it says he sent somebody to find out who she was. He didn't even know who she was, but he sent somebody to find out. And here's what he's told. And this should have ended it right there. Well, she's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now, Uriah was one of David's mighty men. So Uriah was serving David as a mighty soldier. He was one of the top 30. So this is one of his best men. That should have, right there, killed any idea of going where he went. But lust was stronger than principle. So it says, then David sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. Everybody say, uh-oh. Now, after that, she got pregnant. Say double uh-oh. She got pregnant. Now, when he found out she was pregnant, here's what he did. He hatched a plan. He said, I'm going to call Uriah in off the battlefield, and I'm going to have Uriah go home and be with his wife, and that way I can blame the baby on Uriah. But what he didn't count on was that Uriah was far more loyal than David at this point. Because Uriah said, no, I'm not going to go home to my wife because all my fellow soldiers are out there fighting. I'm not going to go home. And he slept on David's doorstep. David says, I got a problem. I've sinned. I've slept with one of my top men's wife. Aren't you glad the Bible's honest about the people in it? You guys are looking at me like I'm talking out of a soap opera. But I am. This is a Bible soap opera. Now watch this. He says to himself, what am I going to do? Because he will not go home. He tried two or three times. He tried getting him drunk and sending him home. Uriah was too pure, too loyal. So look what David did. The next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to deliver. And the letter instructed Joab, station Uriah on the front lines where the battle is fiercest, then pull back so that he is killed. Everybody say cold. Oh, say cold again. It doesn't get any colder than that. He's sending his best man, his loyal man, with his own suicide note to the commander of the army, Joab. Uriah has no idea, leaving David, going to Joab. He's carrying his own death warrant. And he hands it to Joab. And Joab reads it without Uriah knowing the contents. And Joab sent him to the front lines, pulled the soldiers back. The arrows were flying, and Uriah was killed. This is a real faith breaker when a leader falls. It happens when a man or a woman you hold in high esteem, who you have placed on a pedestal, they're way up here, you're down here and they're up there, and you get to thinking they can't do any wrong. There's Jesus and then there's them. They've led you, they've inspired you, fed you, represented Jesus to you, and then you find out they fell into some kind of error or sin. And you're shattered. Your faith is shaken. What do I do with this? How do I handle this? How do I navigate through this? I don't know how to respond to this. How do I get through the other side? This is either going to be a faith breaker or it's going to be a faith maker. This is either going to affect me the rest of my life or I'm going to come out on the other side. And listen, everybody, I'm going to show you not only can it be a faith maker, but it can take you up to your next level. Because we're going to understand some things today. So here's what some people do when a leader fails. They decide Christianity was just fake, and they walk away. Do you know that right now, thousands of people all over America woke up this morning and did not go to church because of failed leadership, and they didn't know how to handle it, and they don't go to church anymore, don't read their Bible anymore, they don't pray anymore because they allowed that failed leadership to really knock them off the saddle. Now, if a failed leader does that to you, then you are in hero worship. They were way higher to you than they ought to have been. And I'm going to show you today that though a leader fails, God doesn't. Though a leader fails, Jesus doesn't. Though a leader fails, the purpose of God remains. But when a leader fails, do you use it as an opportunity to descend into criticism and high level, heavy judgmentalism, throwing rocks at them, condemning them, spending all your time talking them down? Or do you allow a failed leader to give you a license to sin? Because after all, if my leader went off the rail, then how can I walk with God? So I might as well just give in and sin. And we use it as a license to sin. But I'm going to show you today, none of those things have to happen. I'm going to show you how to turn it from a faith breaker into a faith maker, take you to the next level. Now let me go back to our text. In our text, we are looking at David's darkest hour. There is no darker hour in David's life than this one. It's hard to wrap your mind around how a man of God, a man after God's own heart, who used to sit out in the pastures when he was a teenager with his harp and write love songs to God, many of the Psalms, and would sing to the Lord, fell in love with the Lord more than any man anywhere in his orbit, anywhere in his environment. He loved God, and God groomed him, and God dealt with him. This man who stood up as a teenager against the mighty giant Goliath and brought him down with a sling and a stone because he believed in the name and in the power of the name of God. It's hard to believe how this man could walk through such a dark door and not only commit adultery, but send Bathsheba's wronged husband, one of his own mighty men, with a note instructing Joab to have him killed. How do you go there? How do you go there? Let me answer it. You go there because we all have a fallen nature. You go there because we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And if you get yourself in the right situation, or I should say the wrong situation, your flesh can do anything. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know what? I fear the flesh. I don't trust my flesh. And I hope you don't either. Now, I'm not talking about the skin on your body. I'm talking about that fallen Adam nature that wants to rise up and sin against God. I fear that thing. And I'm thankful that it's been crucified with Christ, and I can get up every day and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But with David, it happened. Now, a quick run through what led up to where I want to go today. Following David's terrible deed, Nathan the prophet came to him and called him out on it, pointed his finger at him and said, "You are the man," and told him he was going to reap the consequences for what he did in his own family. Here's what God said to David through Nathan. He said, "I'm going to raise up adversity against you from your own house." David, trouble's going to come your way. It's going to come out of your own house. It's not going to come from outside. It's going to come from inside. Almost immediately, the consequences began to fall. The baby conceived through David and Bathsheba's sin died. Soon his other children began to go wild on him. Incest, murder, betrayal, and heartache visited David's household in wave after wave of tragedy. And he knew why. He knew why. And his household troubles reached their apex when his handsome, charismatic son named Absalom developed a root of bitterness against him. And the Bible says when he got this root of bitterness against David, he began to plot to overthrow his own father and replace him as king. Over time, Absalom would stand at the gate of the city. The Bible says he would stand at the gate of the city, and as the people would come in and out of the gate, he would say, "Hey, how are things going?" "Well, you know, my taxes are too high." Or they would say something negative about the kingdom, and Absalom would say, "You know, I understand. I really get it. Bless your heart." And then he would say, "If I were king, this would never happen." Sowing little seeds of discontent and malcontent. And the Bible says that the conspiracy was strong. Over time, through flattery and manipulation, the Bible says half of Israel fell in love with Absalom. He was tall. He was handsome. He had this long, thick, beautiful hair. He said nobody in all of Israel was as beautiful, as handsome as Absalom. Goes to show you that there can be a wicked heart in a beautiful body. And there can be a beautiful heart in a difficult body. Amen? Now, within a few short years, Absalom led a full-blown mutiny. You know the story. And along with a handful of loyal supporters, David was driven out of the kingdom and driven into the wilderness. He's got ashes on his head, sackcloth on his body. He's ashamed. He's humiliated. He knows he's reaping the consequences of his sin. One commentator writes, "No more pathetic page is found in the Old Testament than that which tells the story of David's flight before Absalom. He's crushed by the awareness that his punishment is deserved, the bitter fruit of his sin." It was God's word through Nathan coming to pass right in front of his eyes and right in front of the eyes of the entire nation. "I will raise up adversity against you from your own house." And as David flees to the wilderness in humiliation, the whole nation is watching him reap firsthand. It's no longer a secret. Everybody knows what he did. That's why the Bible says, be careful, your sin will find you out. What you do in secret will be shouted from the housetops. One of the devil's biggest lies is that a sin is going to stay hidden. It doesn't. Not a major sin. It's going to come out. Not like one that David committed. It's going to come out. It may take some time, but it's going to come out. And this is what happened. And more people in his kingdom than not understood that this was happening to him because of his sin as he's running into the wilderness. Now, it is during this time, this dark hour, difficult hour, really hard hour for David, that two key people step onto the pages of Scripture with two different responses to his failure. One of them, it's a faith breaker from which he never recovers. The other one, it becomes a faith maker and it takes him up to a higher level. Now, how many of you would like to know how to turn a faith breaker into a faith maker? When it comes to failed leadership, they can actually take you to a higher level. Come on, because we've all seen failed leadership. How many of you have been alive for 20 years at least? Well, then we've all seen all kinds of scandals, national scandals, preachers on TV, all kinds of things where leadership has failed, leadership has fallen, leadership has gotten into trouble. We've all had to deal with it. But it doesn't have to be a faith breaker. It doesn't have to make you cynical. It doesn't have to make you jaded. It doesn't have to turn you against the church. It doesn't have to take you out of prayer. It can actually take you higher. Now, let me talk about the first one and get the bad out of the way. The one for whom it was a faith breaker, his name is Ahithophel. Ahithophel had been David's BFF. For those of you that don't know computer lingo, best friend forever. Ahithophel had been David's best friend. He had been his counselor, his confidant, his supporter, his brother, his fellow worshiper. He was accomplished, he was brilliant, he was polished, and he was highly favored in Israel, had an incredible reputation, highly respected, and he was especially known for his wise counsel. Listen to what it says about his counsel. The Bible says that in David's time, Ahithophel's counsel seemed as wise as though it had come directly from the mouth of God. When Ahithophel counseled, everybody listened. Everybody tuned in. And they said, that's got to be God. He was that way. He was angelic. He was persuasive. He carried himself like a sage, like a wise man. This was Ahithophel. And when David failed, rather than walk through his friend's valley with him, Ahithophel turned against him. Ahithophel didn't know how to handle it. Ahithophel stumbled, tripped, fell, was offended, didn't know how to navigate through what David had done. In his mind, he was saying, David, how could you have done this? I don't understand. How could you have gone there? And he walked away from David. David's fall, the fall of leadership, turned him against him. It is Ahithophel about whom David wrote this psalm. He said, if an enemy were making fun of me, I could stand it. If he were getting ready to oppose me, I could hide. But it's you, the you is Ahithophel. But it's you, someone like myself. We were alike. We were buds. He says, it's my companion, my close friend. We used to enjoy the good friendship, or enjoy good friendship at the house of God. We used to walk together among those who came to worship. We went to church together, Ahithophel. We sang Kumbaya together. We worshiped God together. You shared your heart with me and I shared my heart with you. We were close. We were tight. We were friends. And Ahithophel, honestly, David is saying in the psalm, if you were an enemy, I could take the kind of attack that I'm getting from you. If you were not with me, if I'd never known you, I could take what you're dishing out to me. But Ahithophel, you were my friend. And what you're sending against me, what you're doing against me, the way you're attacking me, Ahithophel, it's hard for me to handle. That's what he's saying. For Ahithophel, David's sin was a deal killer. It was an insurmountable obstacle. And adding insult to injury, Ahithophel changed teams. And he joined up with Absalom. And he said, Absalom, I'm going to help you overthrow your daddy, my former friend. My ability to counsel, I'm going to give to you. I'm no longer going to counsel David. I'm going to counsel you. And he joined hands with a traitor to overthrow the king. And when David heard that Ahithophel had turned against him, it broke his heart. And all he could do was pray, Lord, frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel. Frustrate it. Because I know he's good. And I know if Absalom listens to him, I'm in trouble. Well, let me tell you quickly how Ahithophel ended up. Things didn't go well for him at all. The day came when he gave some counsel to Absalom, and Absalom went to somebody else and said, what do you say? And he took the other person's counsel instead of Ahithophel's, and Ahithophel couldn't handle it. His ego could not contain that. And so the Bible says Ahithophel went home, put his things in order, built a gallows, and hung himself. Offense over David's failure became the event that changed his life forever. That's why I'm telling you, it matters how you respond to failed leadership. Because look at this man. He was on top of his game, and then when his friend, a leader, failed, he didn't handle it right. He didn't deal with it right. He lost his focus. He lost what he was about, and he spiraled down until there was nothing left for him in life. But now, everybody say, let's get happy. Let me tell you about the other guy. His name is Ittai. Now, it's spelled I-T-T-A-I. I was going to call him Ittai, but to me it sounded too close to Cousin It. If you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. But it's too close to It. It. I was going to call him Ittai, but it just didn't sound right. So I'm going to add a little grace to it. Ittai. All right? Everybody say Ittai. Now, who's Ittai? Because he's not a major character in the Bible. Ittai had been a servant of David's only a short time when the king was forced to flee from Absalom. Ittai came along. And as David was running into the wilderness with a group of people around him, fleeing from his son, running for his life, Ittai came up to him, eased up to him, and said, I'm with you. And he had not been long with David and with Israel. And David said, no, don't come with me. This is going to be a rough ride. Go back to Jerusalem, Ittai. And Ittai responded, watch this, church. Here's what he said. It reminds me of what Ruth said to Naomi. When Naomi told Ruth to go back home, David said to Ittai, go back home. And Ittai said, as the Lord lives, and as my Lord the King lives, surely in whatever place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message entitled, When Leaders Fail, in this sermon series called Faith Breakers. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.